The wait is over. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Season 2, let's go. Welcome to Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories. I'm your host, Rachel Ash. Upon my debut into the dating world, I thought everyone had the same concept of what normal, decent, and acceptable was. It took the first unsolicited dick pic to bitch slap me back into reality, and holy shit! From that point on, I knew it was time to buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, because I was in the motherfucking wild, wild west. If you're new to Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories, you have landed on Season 2. If you'd like to catch up and listen to the entire first season of Fucked Up Stories, then pause here. Everyone else, buckle up and let's go. Welcome to a fresh new season of Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories. And boy, are you in for a treat. You asked, and I delivered. A lot has happened during my hiatus this past year, but now I'm back, and I'm not going anywhere. This season, we are leveling up the show. We will be featuring live music and video guest episodes. At the start of this season, we have officially hit 10,000 downloads. Thank you to all the loyal listeners out there. You all made this possible. Let's continue the momentum towards the next milestone, 100,000 downloads. Let's go. If you enjoy this episode today, feel free to send it to a friend in need. If you're listening on Apple, take a moment to write a review. I truly appreciate all of you. You all help keep this podcast alive. If you have any questions or your own fucked up story to share, feel free to slide into my DMs at Dating Podcast. Before I dive right into it, I want to stress that I'm not a psychologist. I am merely like every one of you trying to navigate this mad world of modern dating. If you tuned in thinking this was going to be yet another guide of how to get an emotionally unavailable guy to commit to being your boyfriend, I hate to be the one to burst your unrealistic bubble. No, my darling, this is and will always be Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories. This podcast is real-life horrifying yet hilarious dating stories. Perhaps you can learn and apply the knowledge from this fuckery to the benefit of your own dating life, but there's absolutely no guarantee. Here's a disclaimer before we get too involved here. These stories are intended to serve as both insight into the current dating culture among 20 to 40 somethings, as well as a source of entertainment on your busy work commute. None of the details in these stories have been altered. This is purely journalistic, with my own personal flair, of course. This is how the game is going to go. To keep the identities of the dates anonymous, they have been given appropriate, albeit amusing names. Boys, you only get a name under certain circumstances. Here we go. 1, you fucked up. That's pretty self-explanatory. 2, either you were weird or the date was just unforgettably fucked up or a combination of everything. 3, I liked you. But you ran, so now you get a story. It's possible, but extremely rare for a date to make it to this podcast without meeting this criteria. However, there is always that one-off chance a date exceeds expectations and is spectacular. There are exceptions.
Run! A woman screamed from the outside patio of Louis Bossy. I turned around quickly to face her. What? I replied, stunned. Are you talking to me? You need to run, she yelled out again. My heart stopped. 2 days earlier. The air was hot, wet, and ripe for a fucked up story. It was May 13th, 2023. A little over 3 years since my split from my ex-husband. My son was playing in the room next to mine. I was sitting on the bed, feeling a sense of intense anxiety sweep suddenly over me. It started in my chest and consumed my thoughts. I tried to contain them, but I didn't have the mentality to hold them back. Without remorse, they violently crashed through my floodgates. My eyes widened. I was in it now. All the memories of the last 3 years hit me like daggers to the soul. I took a deep breath and exhaled very slowly. My airflow was jagged, rough, stressed. From the corner of my eye, a light blinked. It was my phone. There was a message. A guy I had met a few days earlier on Tinder was asking if I wanted to go out. And he was a perfect stranger, but I was willing to venture into the unknown to escape my present. I needed a distraction from myself. Within 30 minutes, I was in the car heading north to my ex-husband's house. Throughout the divorce, I was so thankful we remained amicable. We really do have a wonderful co-parenting relationship. I needed an adult night out. He understood. I kissed the top of my son's head and wished him a good night as I headed towards the front door. When I got into my car, I skimmed my Spotify playlist until I landed on All on My Mind by Anderson East. This song always brings out my inner alter ego. It makes me feel sexy and powerful, like a temptress. It's soulful, smooth, and unapologetic. It's how I envision the thoughts of a Southern gentleman to sound like. This song is sex, and in this moment, I needed it bad. Figuratively, of course, to feel desired. Remember, I'm a good girl. Dates can make even the most seasoned dater a little anxious. Before I go on dates, I usually crank up 2 Feet, Dennis Lloyd, or some other artist that is undoubtedly on the sex playlist of most. If my soul was a genre, it would be the blues. Listening to this music sets the mood. It calms my nerves and builds up my confidence. I'm not ashamed to say it transforms me into another person. My walk even slows in tempo and becomes more alluring. I walk into the date believing I am the most interesting woman in the room. And if you believe it, then everyone else believes it. Like anyone else, though, I am human and I do get nervous. But I'm able to mask that with the help of music. My date invited me to meet at Calouse, on the water of the Fort Lauderdale Intracoastal. Surprisingly, I had never been to Calouse. Like Shooters, this was a South Florida institution. It's a popular spot. Many people pull up their boats and have dinner here. The restaurant was upscale, classy. Right away, I was impressed. The first impression was on point. Sure, I try to enter dates with no expectations. However, when a guy makes plans at an upscale place on the water for a first date, it sets the bar high. And secretly, I always expect the man I'm seeing to make this effort. I like to be spoiled. The location selection also says something about the lifestyle of the man. If he plans to meet at a park with a couple of warm beers for the first date, we may not be compatible. Our lifestyles would be so differing. In my life, when it comes to work and relationships, I put 120% into it. So on a basic energy level, I expect a potential partner to match it. Otherwise, I'm better off single. When I arrived, I texted my date. I opened the massive doors at Calouse and with my eyes skimmed the dark restaurant for him. Then, out of nowhere, He came up behind me. And he was massive. This guy was a giant. He could be cast as the giant for any production of Jack and the Beanstalk. Sure, his profile said 6'7", but on paper, that just seems like a number. In person, this guy towered over my 5'4" self. And with heels, I am 5'8", but still, he was well over a foot taller than me. He had dark brown hair and facial hair. When he went in to give me a hug to greet me, it felt like an oversized teddy bear from FAO Schwartz. He wasn't fat. He was just proportionately giant. "Wow, you're really tall," I said, shocked, when I first greeted him. He shrugged it off. I'm sure he gets that response all the time. He led me to the outside patio to a spot he had snagged at the bar. He had actually arrived early to make sure we had a place to sit. That shows effort and attention to detail. Out of the gate, he was scoring all the extra credit, including the 6 foot or taller requirement I had on my Tinder dating profile. We sat down. We both ordered martinis. His martini was with vodka, and I got my usual martini. A bone dry gin martini shaken with 3 olives. Hold that vermouth. That's right. Shoot me, mixologists. I like the ice chips. I love the ice chips, actually. James Bond had the right idea, but he forgot the olives. Tisk tisk. My date. Let's call him the Jolly Green Giant, or simply the Giant. My date and I sit at the outdoor bar sipping slowly on the martinis, just talking about every and anything. He told me that he had a 9-year-old son and that he had gotten divorced from his wife years ago. Then he went on to tell me that he had gotten a vasectomy. I was barely a few sips in and he was giving me his intimate medical history. Okay. Vasectomy. When he said the word, I have to admit I was immediately turned off. My figurative balls curled up when he said it. I don't even have balls, but my visceral reaction was, ouch. Then, as he went on to tell me the reason, I was further turned off. He said he got a vasectomy because he didn't want his son to feel jealous. Why? Because apparently he worked so much. He was a yacht broker. He worked so much that he didn't spend a lot of time with his son in his younger years. He felt guilty about it. Recently, he emphasized he was pulling back from work to focus more on his son. That was admirable. The reason he gave for getting the vasectomy was that any possibility of bringing another child into this world would be unfair to his son. I thought that was a strange reason. To base that huge decision on how your son may or may not feel? When he conveyed this reasoning to me, it didn't really make sense to me. I just figured he didn't want to have any more kids. Plain and simple. This was a problem for me. Why? Because I wanted the option to have another child in the next few years. Being with this man would mean I give up that chance. Even on a biological level, the thought of this man having a vasectomy was a libido killer. I can't explain it. He just seemed less desirable for me. By this point, he had finished his martini and was ordering a second. My martini was sweating. It was almost warm. He noticed and motioned to the bartender. "Can we get this put in a new chilled martini glass?" he said as he pointed to the drink. I looked at him and said, "I didn't know they could do that." "Yeah, it doesn't taste good warm. They do it all the time here," he replied. And I learned something new, okay. Although just asking the bartender to do it seems a little extra to me, to be honest. Now into his second martini, he went on to talk about his bed. Yes, that's right, his bed. The giant lit up when he started talking about his bed. He explained that he had just gotten an Alaskan king bed. "Like a California king bed?" I asked. "No, an Alaskan king bed is the biggest bed you can buy," he said. Then he went on to explain how there's a California king, a Wyoming king, and then the Alaskan king. He had done the measurements and was ecstatic that the bed actually fit in his bedroom. I did think it was a little odd, the big bed. But he was a big dude. He went on to tell me that most beds are too small for him, so his feet hang off the end. And when I thought about that, it really did make sense. Poor guy. He needed his big and tall version bed. "Where do you even buy sheets for that size bed?" I asked. "They're custom-made sheets," he replied. Let me give you a visual of just how big an Alaskan king bed is. It's like four queen-size beds all in one. It's massive. When I later told my girlfriend Elle about the Alaskan king bed, she immediately shot me a look of cringe. She was like, "Girl, I don't know. It sounds like he may be into orgies. Why else would he want a bed that big?" I was like, "I don't know about that. I mean, he's a big guy. Maybe he needs a bigger bed proportionately." Halfway through his second martini, we started talking about our past. He told me he had grown up in California, and when he moved out here to Florida years ago, he was delighted to see that he could actually afford a home on the water. Out in California, the best he could afford was a townhouse. Florida made his dream of home ownership come true. He purchased a home right on the intercoastal of Pompano. Now, that property is worth well over $1 million. He got it during the recession. Then I asked him about his previous relationships, and that's when he told me that he is still friends with a lot of women he has dated in the past. It didn't work out, but they were still friends. And that he even still occasionally hooks up with them on friend trips. Ah, here we go. Alcohol, the gateway to the truth. I'm just sitting there taking it all in, asking all my questions about it. I'm weary about it, but at the same time, he was single and these friends were single as well. Friends with benefits is a thing. I mean, this isn't a deal breaker as long as it's not happening while in a committed relationship. Either way, I was just listening. I wasn't involved with him. This was just a first date. Makes no difference to me what he does. It does, however, establish his character. Then he tells me about his days in high school, and the topic of first times came up. From there, he started talking about how in high school he had a nickname. "What was your nickname?" I asked curiously. "Coke can," he replied without hesitation. "I don't get it. Why Coke can?" I asked, confused. "You know how thick the width of a Coke can is?" he asked. "Yeah," I replied. "That's how big I am." All right, so from here, I glanced at him. No words exchanged about his massive Coke-sized dick. And I'm just like, what? Like, did this guy really just say he's got a massive Coke can-sized dick? And he said a rumor was spread across his high school about it and that he got the nickname Coke Can. Ouch, those poor women. All right, now as I tell the story, I have to admit this was a screaming red flag, maybe even an army of red flags. But in the moment, with Jin making all the decisions for my brain, this just seemed like a funny story. All right, so I didn't know if he was lying or not. A lot of guys love to exaggerate their penis size. Some really are obsessed about talking about it. Either way, it's not like I was planning to sleep with him. This was a first date, an interview at best. Regardless, he was entertaining. We closed Calouse. We were the last ones at the bar. The employees were stacking chairs. The outdoor patio was a ghost town. By this time, it was 11 p.m. at night. The conversations we were having were wild, but I was enjoying time with the giant. He was a fascinating person. I wasn't ready to go home. They cut the music. "You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here," I joked. Then he pointed at a boat on the water and asked if I wanted to go for a ride. "You brought your boat?" I asked, impressed. He shook his head, "Yes." "You're not going to pull a Dexter on me, right? You're not going to murder me and dump my body into the ocean, right?" I said. He laughed. "I had thought about it." He walked me over to the boat, got in first, and then helped me down. Very gentlemanly of him. As we ventured down the intercoastal, he talked about the mansions we saw and which were our favorites. We were playing a game of, if we could choose any home to be our dream home, which one would it be? He went on to talk about the city of Pompano and how they had put considerable money into revitalizing the city, especially around the water, and how he was happy he had bought where he did because Pompano was now up and coming. And over time, it was going to raise the value of his property even more. With the wind blowing through my hair, I glanced at my date and the boat as we raced through the water. This could be my life. I could see myself in this life. This is where I want to be, I thought to myself at that moment. We got all the way to the lighthouse at Lighthouse Point and then circled back. On the way back, he decided to stop by his house. "I know what you're thinking. No, we didn't hook up." He honestly was being incredibly respectful. The plan was to go to his house, and then he would drive me back in his car to Calouse, where my car was still sitting. So we went into his house. He began to show me around. He explained how the countertops were a custom height because obviously he was much taller than the average person. I felt like one of the seven dwarfs in this giant's lair. As he was showing me around, he took me into the room he was using for storage. It was a den. There were no doors. He explained how he was planning to make it into another room. "Oh yeah, what's it going to be? Your red room?" I was kidding. And at the time, I thought he was kidding too. When he replied that he was actually thinking about making it into a sex room. Then, since we were already at his house, I had to see the bed. "Show me the bed. I have to see it. But don't get any ideas." He took me to his room, and I stood there just staring at the bed. "Holy shit," I said. "That's a big fucking bed." He seemed proud of it. He went on to describe his process of ordering the sheets and putting the bed together, etc., etc. The whole thing was hilarious. A few minutes later, we were in his car heading back to my car. The evening was perfect. Great drinks, intriguing conversation. It was the distraction I needed. We kept the conversation going through text and made plans to meet that following Monday. It had been a successful first date. His crazy didn't come out until the second date. Monday, May 15th, 2023. 2 days later. For the second date, we decided to take a walk down Las Olas Boulevard and grab gelato. This seemed like a great opportunity to bring my dog Chewy, aka Chewbacca. He's a cute little Yorkshire Terrier. The giant and I were going for a walk, and there are only a few places I can take Chewy, so it seemed like the perfect night to bring him along. The giant picked me up at my apartment building and drove us down the street. When we went to park, he emphasized how he never pays for parking and always gets away with it. And I thought, wow, must be nice. Last year, I forgot to pay for my parking for just a few minutes and I got a ticket. Lucky me. We walked down Las Olas and stopped by an Italian bakery. We were the only ones there. It was nighttime in May on a Monday. This was off season for Fort Lauderdale. We both sampled a few gelato flavors. I landed on hazelnut, of course. As we continued our walk east down the strip, Chewy was frolicking. He was so happy to be outside. As we came in contact with people on our walk, he would go right up to them and beg to be pet. When Chewy was younger and going through training, he earned the nickname the Mayor because he would always go up to every dog and human to greet them. We got to Louis Bossy, and my date told me he was going to go inside to use the bathroom. I was standing on the sidewalk outside of Louis Bossy with Chewy when all of a sudden, "Run!" a woman screamed out from the outside patio of Louis Bossy. I turned around quickly to face her. She was sitting next to another guy at one of the outdoor tables. "What?" I replied, stunned. "Are you talking to me?" "You need to run," she yelled out again. "Why?" I asked, concerned. "Because there's something really weird about your date." "What do you mean?" I asked. "He's into really weird sex things. He goes to sex parties." "What?" I replied. "Yeah, his name is David, right?" she asked. No, that must be some other 6'7" guy," I replied and turned around. "Yeah, he has a kid. That's him," she said. I looked over at my shoulder at her, but said nothing. My date came outside. I looked up at him with a straight face and asked him, "The woman sitting behind me, do you know her? She was saying things about you." He glanced at her and then looked at me right in the eye and said, "No." We started walking again and it was silent for a couple of minutes. "Yeah, I do know her," he said, breaking the silence. "You do?" I asked. "She said you go to sex parties." Then he went on to talk about how he did go on a date a few years ago with her and how she is crazy. I'm always skeptical of men who call women crazy. Sure, there are some people who really are nuts, but in the dating scene, calling a past date or ex crazy is something to take note of. Like, what did you do to make her crazy? "Do you go to sex parties?" I asked. "Yes," he answered without hesitation. "But I don't do anything at them." At this point, I don't believe anything this man is saying. He is losing credibility with every step. "You mean to tell me you don't even jack off?" I asked boldly. I didn't care how obscene I sounded. I wanted answers. "Well, yeah, of course," he replied, like it wasn't a big deal. Then as we walked back to his car, he told me the story about how he got into the sex party scene with his ex-girlfriend during COVID. One evening, they were on his boat and saw their neighbors completely naked in their backyard. His neighbors motioned for them to join them, and apparently they did. He explained there was nothing else to do during the pandemic, so I guess they just became swingers. I was just listening, saying nothing. I didn't even know what to say. This completely changed everything for me of how I thought of him. When we got back to his car, there was a parking ticket on the front. How ironic. He never gets parking tickets, but tonight, on this night, he got a parking ticket. As he drove me home, he started doubling down on how swinging and sex parties are okay. And I was just sitting there, petting Chewy in my lap. I didn't even look at the giant as he was speaking. I only looked forward. I just wanted to get home. And I was praying he wouldn't try to make a move on me or even kiss me when he dropped me off. We were down the block from my apartment when he made this statement. I feel bad for the woman I'm with if she expects me to be the one to give her all of her orgasms the rest of her life. In my mind, I'm just thinking, oh my God, what the fuck? We get back to my apartment building. I meticulously scour his car to make sure I had everything because I knew I never, ever wanted to see this guy again. I got out of the car. He got out too. I said goodbye, and thank God he didn't try to kiss me. I think he sensed how I felt about what he had just said to me. Then he drove off, and I never saw him again. A couple of weeks later, I decided to post a picture of this guy on this social media group about dating in South Florida. What you do is post the picture, no names are given, and you ask if anyone has tea. Tea, if you're not up to your Gen Z lingo, tea means gossip. So I was asking if anybody had gossip on this guy. Somebody must know him. He's lived in South Florida a pretty decent amount of time. Women do this to gain some insight into the man they are dating. It's a network of women meant to protect each other from potentially dangerous men and situations. I posted his picture, no name, no details. I just posted his picture and asked if anyone had tea. The fact that this random woman had yelled at me to run on the street was a major factor in why I made the post. I was concerned. After a couple of days, a woman replied and said the following. He's a sex addict. He uses women and ruins their bodies. He has unsafe sex with them, and that she used to be friends with him, but that it became too upsetting for her to watch, and that he would lead women on, and these women would think they had something real with him, and then he would break their hearts. This was shocking for me. Shocking, but a major relief that I dodged that Coke can. This giant had giant everything. Giant bed, allegedly a giant dick, and giant issues. There you have it. Until next story, this is Rachel Ash signing off.